Last week, we share with you the passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 6 to verse 13. While I'm tempted to have that passage read again, but we are going to move on. You can read it. That passage is telling you that it did not enter into the hearts of man. Certain plan and purpose and blessings which God has in store for us. The inspired apostle tells us that God reveals it. And even the things that we need to know about the will of God, the apostle Paul in that passage tells us that it's only through God's revelation we can know it. We ended last week's lesson by looking on some of the paradoxes of the Bible. Paradoxes that which seems things that appear to contradict themselves. And among the first point we look at last week is that the Bible is divine, yet it is human. And we explain what was meant by that. That the Bible originate not in man, but with God. The Bible comes from God. But God employed human being to write the message that was given to them by the Holy Spirit. We move on to the point that the Bible is manifold, many, yet it is one. The Bible is a library. A library is a collection of books. While the Bible is a library, the Bible is also one book. And one of the great things about the Bible is that while the Bible was written by some 40 different inspired men, the Bible appears as a one person wrote it. That's one of the, because the Bible comes from one mind, the mind of God. And this is what is meant when we say the Bible is manifold, yet it is one. The Bible deals with subjects of the first importance. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? The Bible deals with profound things, yet the Bible brings those subjects of the things it deals with to us in simple ways. The Bible deals with the origin of man. That is, where did we come from? The Bible deals with the origin of the universe. In fact, let me back up. The Bible deals with the origin of man in ways that, looking at it from the pure human point of view, in ways that is make much more sense than science. Well, let me tell you what you mean. The Bible tells us, man tells us, that is science, that man evolved. My God. That is non-rational, nonsensical nature take time, turn and turn and turn and turn until it brings something about like magic. You know, I'm sort of simplifying. Ladies and gentlemen, forever one of my great proof that there is a God is man. That's right. When I think of how functional the different parts of our body, I'm always fascinated, like you're brushing your teeth and are you washing your mouth, whatever, and how our tongue can take water from one side of the mouth to the other. The Almighty God did make us with one hand. And he didn't make the hand just a piece of, he made functional fingers. This tells me that there is an intelligence behind us being. So the point is, and emphasizing, is that the Bible deals with things that are of first importance. It deals with the origin of man. We didn't just evolve. The Almighty God created man. And he created man for a purpose. The Almighty God made our body of such that it function. And you can see intelligence. You notice the things that man has made? The very car, buildings, structure like this. And many other things that makes you wonder. But when man created things make me wonder, you know where my wonder goes. What a great God. The Bible deals with not only the origin of man, the universe, the human race. The Bible deals with the history of sin. The Bible deals with the incarnation of God. That is God taking on flesh and bone and become man in the person of Jesus Christ. Why? So as to redeem man. The Bible tells us of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us of Christ's redemptive plan, and the Bible tells us of man's destiny. You and I are not heading just to nowhere. We die and we get back in the earth and we just perish there forever. The Bible says it's not like that. And the Bible tells us that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It's not because the wicked going to die, but because the wicked has a judgment to face after death. When the Bible tells us that God welcomed the death of the righteous, it's not because the righteous going to die and stay dead, but that the righteous has a reward after death. Yes, the Bible is manifold, yet it is one. One of the great things about the Bible is the unity of the Bible. And if somebody asks what that means, when we speak about the unity of the Bible, which tells us that the Bible is from God, when the Bible deals with historical things, the 40 different writers, dating from about 1400 BC, that's the first writer, Moses, lived and existed about them. The last writer is about 70 to 100 AD, after the death of Christ. Yet here are some 40 different writers, 40 of them expanding a time span of 1,400 years. Most of them did not know each other. And yet when they deal with historical facts, they agree. When they deal with prophecy, the Bible telling of things that are going to happen before years, hundreds of years after the writer wrote. And when another writer living probably 200-400 years after wrote about the same thing, he agreed with the one that had written some 400 years before, and they didn't know each other. That's the prophetic unity of the Bible. When the Bible deals with doctrine, right teaching, these 40 writers agreed. There is oneness, there is unity. In its historical record, in its prophetical record, in its spiritual record, in its doctrinal record, there is complete unity of the Bible. The Bible is from the Almighty God. Not only that, the Bible is ancient, old, yet the Bible is modern. That's one of the great things about the Bible. One of the things that fascinates me always is the Almighty God plan. A plan of salvation. That is how every man and every woman must become Christian. God planned that, we are told, before the world began. That's right. You know what fascinates me? Is that the Almighty God put together a plan that is practicable anywhere human live. Anywhere human live, you can become a Christian the Bible's way. Wait. Had man done that, many of its parts would have become outdated long ago and become impossible to practice. But because it is from God, you can become a Christian today the same way Paul and Peter and those they convert became Christian. 2,000 years ago. The Almighty God gives us some acts of worship. Sorry. Every time I think that I have this on. Yes, I want you to hear. The Bible gives us some, about 5 acts or activity of worship. And that include, we can sing and ought to sing. We can talk to God and ought to speak to him. We can let his word speak to us. We ought to study the Bible. We can give. And all of these, you know what? Wherever human being live, we can engage in these activities of worship. Had it been invented by man, you'd find that some part of it is no more practicable. But because It was the Almighty God who put it together. It will always be practicing. What did I say? The Bible is ancient yet modern. Psalms 90. Run to it. I don't intend to read, but just run to it. And one of you brothers, read just a little of it. Psalms, start the first one. Psalms 90.
The heavens declare the glory of God.
The heavens declare the characteristic of God. Wait. The word declare, you have in mind that it makes a statement. The heavens declare the glory refers to the characteristics of God. The glory of God, the firmament.
And the firmament showeth his handiwork.
Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to go to heaven to know that there is a God. Amen. Just look around in nature. Read on.
Day unto day uttereth speech,
uh-huh.
And night unto night showeth knowledge.
Uh-huh. There, what psalms you reading?
Psalms 19.
Thank you, brother. Wait, you're going to read. But the 19 and the 90 sound alike. It's really 90, I'd say. But you see, I could go on preaching because this you almost let me preach a sermon from this one. Because that which you have just read. Read it again, that which you have just read from 90.
Day unto day uttereth speech,
uh-huh.
And night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard.
What it is saying is that, look in nature and you see God. And what that is saying is that wherever there is human beings, the word of God is speaking. When he said there is no voice, etc., that his voice is not heard. That is the voice of the words of God. Wherever human being lives, the words of God is telling man that there is a God. Yes, brother, that was 19, but turn to 19. Let us hear it.
Lord. Thou hast been our dwelling place.
Thou hast been our dwelling place.
In all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth.
Before there was any mountain.
Or ever thou hadst formed the earth.
Before there was any earth.
And the world.
Mm-hmm.
Even from everlasting.
From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Before there was anything relative to your creation, you were there. Well, the point is, as I've said, the Bible is ancient, old, yet modern. Psalms 90 is some 3,000 years old. The pharaohs of Egypt were contemporaries with Moses. Are we all there? The pharaohs of Egypt, whose embalmed bodies still lie in the museum in Cairo, Egypt today. Those bodies are some 3,500 years old. And yet the Bible speaks of things as old as those times. Are we all there? But the Bible is more current and modern than today's newspaper. That's right. The Bible speaks to man's spiritual need. The Bible dissects human nature. The Bible speaks to human sin. human greed more currently than any book on psychology today. Are we there? When the Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9 through 10, that the heart of man is what? Desperately wicked above all things. Some of the things that are going on in our society, sometimes when you read about the murder that are being committed, even on some infant, wicked people, you wonder, what did they drink or smoke to have? Truly, because sometimes when I hear about some of the things that people do, a person in his normal sense couldn't do those things. When the passage in Jeremiah tells us that when the heart of man is desperate, wait, the Bible's heart, I keep pointing out, is not that which pumps the blood. This is the Bible's heart. That is, when the Bible speaks of the heart, it speaks about the mind of man. And when Jeremiah speaks there in 17, 9 through 10 about how desperately wicked the heart is. When the book of James chapter 3 tells us about man's tongue. Huh? Wait. Can I find it? Let me find it. What James chapter 3 verse 5 say? Quick.
Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things.
Uh-huh.
Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth.
Wait, don't move. That's the tongue it is describing, you know. And what is being written there was written, so now we are what, 2023? So that was written some 2,000 years ago. And what I'm pointing out, that the Bible is ancient, yet it is modern. Listen, a modern writer on the tongue. The second most deadly instrument of destruction is the gun. The second most deadly instrument of destruction is the gun. The first is the human tongue. Wait. This, of course, was written by William George Gard. This is a relatively modern book. Here the Bible has just told us about the tongue. It is a little member, but it posts so many deadly things. Our tongue. Here this man is telling you that the gun is not as deadly as the tongue. In fact, let him explain. The gun merely kills body. The tongue kills reputation. And oftentimes ruin character. Each gun works alone. Each loaded tongue has hundreds of accomplices. Oh my God. You see how modern the Bible is? Yet it is old. Because the Bible is from God. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible speaks to man's spiritual needs, as I've said. Another point about the Bible is rigid. Wait, what do you mean the Bible is rigid, Brother Mitchell? The Bible is fixed on what it says. Yet, the Bible is so adaptable. I want you to get this point. I repeat, the Bible is rigid. Oh, I better tie a rope on me to keep me right here. So, that's right. The Bible is rigid. Whatever God says, it's the fix. And if you are in our audience as a visitor, remember, you are going to be saved God's way or not saved at all. Whatever the Bible teaches, the gospel that is, in respect to how you are to become a Christian, what you must do, how you must live, that is not going to change. That is fixed. You know what? We Christians must be mindful of that. Yet, the Bible is also flexible. For a better word, I will be giving another word. The Bible in its doctrinal, its moral, its ethical precept, the Bible is fixed and unyielding. I repeat, the Bible in its moral, ethical, doctrinal precepts, don't expect any change. Those are fixed by God. They are immutable. Yet, in its teaching, the Bible offers salvation, a message of hope in ways that reaches out to every man at every level of society. Brother Mitchell, illustrate. Now, thank you for asking me. The Bible did not offer a plan of salvation, one plan for the rich and educated. It did not offer a plan of salvation, one plan for the middle class. And then it has another plan for the lower class. The Bible has one plan of salvation for everyone. Mr. Mitchell, what do you mean? The Almighty God fixed it that every man, every woman must become Christian the same way.
Amen.
Yet the Almighty God's plan of salvation, it is adaptable to the person who is up there, socially, financially, educationally. It is adaptable to the person who is there socially, educationally, financially, and it is adaptable to the person who is down there socially, educationally, and financially.
Amen.
That's what I meant when I said that the Bible, it is rigid, yet it is adaptable. Let me show you. I think one passage that is one of the great passages to illustrate this is the passage of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. Did I say Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16? Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, first, now, in reference to the rigidity of the Bible, that it is fixed. This is why the Almighty God calls for repentance. That's right. Listen, Jesus Christ in the book of Luke chapter 13, verse 2025. Quick, brother.
And Jesus answered.
And Acts chapter 17, verse 13. And Jesus answered,
said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
You see, this is in effect pointing out that men and women will have to turn from their evil ways and meet God's condition. These people were bemoaning the fact how tragically these Galileans died. Jesus Christ said, you better repent, or else the same will happen to you. And this, when I talk about God's plan, is rigid. Look at Acts chapter 17, verse 32, 31. Quick. Let us hear it.
And in times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
You hear again, repentance means that God cannot and will not save us in you or I holding on to our ungodly, our sinful ways. You'll have to turn. That's what I meant when I talk about God's plan is rigid. Are we all there? Yet, it is adaptable to meet man where he is. I was going to, I know I told you Acts 16, we're going to have it read, but let me just relate the passage. In this passage of Acts chapter 16, you notice the gospel of Jesus Christ. It reaches one, a woman called Lydia. Lydia was the top of society. Lydia was in fact a merchant who dealt with what again? Purple. I've written down the price of the dye that was used, and it was astronomical. So when you read about Lydia, she was no small fry at the top of society. Then the Bible deals with the Philippian jailer, the prison officer. He was in the middle of society. He was a middle class. And the Bible deal with a slave girl. What you notice is that the gospel of Jesus Christ touched all of them. It could go up there and reach Lydia. But you notice the gospel was not compromised or changed. As it is, it reaches Lydia and she became a Christian. Amen. To reach the middle class man, it did not change or told up. As it is given by Christ, it reaches the jailer. And so it is the slave girl. So we get back to the point that the gospel of Christ is rigid, yet it is adaptable. The Almighty God gives a gospel that can reach every man and every woman. Are we all there? Whatever the person's social status, whatever the person's accomplishment, whatever the person's occupation is. It is adaptable, yet it is rigid. The gospel of Jesus Christ reaches and grabs the learned. It reaches and it grabs, lay hold on the rich. It reaches and lay hold on the poor or the peasants. As one man says, from the sales, from the states men to the salesmen. From the writers to the warriors, from the poet to the planters, the gospel of Jesus Christ reaches everyone. Thank God for the Bible and the great book that it is. As I wrap up, the Bible, God's word, is the final testing ground of our spiritual and moral life and conduct. Let me repeat this. The Bible is the final testing ground for our spiritual and moral life and conduct, and for all our religious doctrine and practices. The Bible is the final testing ground. Human beliefs and practices shift, deteriorate, and changes with human trends and lights. But the word of God is fixed and it is stable. It will never change to adapt itself to societal standard. We need to understand that. The Bible speaks plainly, very plainly. And things like women place in the Christian home and in the church. Don't ever think that God was a little backward when he inspired the writer to write that. That will stay fixed. And God expects the Christian to yield to that willingly as long as the world lasts. The Bible speaks plainly on women's place in the church. While they must be as active and as involved as the men, but in different function. Are we all there? They must never in the church usurp authority over men. That will stay put until judgment. Be that judgment tomorrow or 10 million years from now. Because all of time and eternity was before God when he inspired the inspired writer to write what they wrote. There is no book like the Bible, and there will never be any book like the Bible. Is it first? I want to end with one passage. I think it's 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 22. Let me hear it, brother. Start and 1 Peter 1 verse 22 or 23. Just start and I'll know if it's a passage.
Seeing ye have purified.
That's the passage. We're going to end with that passage. Listen, everyone. Yes, you know the passage. But please listen. Because we have been talking about the word of God. The Bible. See,
seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit into unfeigned love of the brethren.
Obey the truth. That's the word of God. Read on.
See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God.
You see, the word of God is like to see. Wait, when we permit it to get in our heart, it brings forth good things. Read on.
Which liveth and abideth forever.
You hear that? The word of God lives and abides forever. Read.
For all flesh,
is as grass.
And all the glory of man,
and all the things that we are fascinated about,
as the
about their beauty and the genius that is in them,
as the flower of grass, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the
Lord.
Endureth forever.
Endures forever.
And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
In case you didn't know what I'm talking about, the writer says, I'm talking to you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has no time span. It will never be outdated. It will never be irrelevant. Make sure you relate to it in a wise way. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, what good time for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Because you know what? When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are responding to the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible just tells you that these words, the word of the gospel, abides forever. You need to hear. And you have heard enough to say, and if you didn't hear enough, you must believe in Christ after having been born. You must repent of your sin. You must confess Jesus' name, and you must be baptized for the removal of your sin. In a few seconds, our minute, we are going to stand to sing a song to God's honor and glory. That is a great time for you to step forward if you'd like to give your life to Christ, or step forward if you see the need to recommit your life to Christ. Live by the word of God, and it will guide you through life and take you successfully to eternity.
Amen.
As we stand.